Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike Gona. Twitter's had Shane. Lost Shane. Just like Mateer. Hopefully he's back in the next 3 to 4 weeks. Can't confirm it, but you know Shane. Slides in at the last minute. Never ready. Not ready today. So we'll see how when he gets here. But there he is. What's up, buddy?
Oh, hey, buddy. What's going on?
Oh, well, man. So we got this SEC schedule release going.
Yeah. Yes.
I think we already know the teams, but just in case we don't, we'll kind of react to that as it goes live here. But before we get to that, Shane, because who cares about their previews and their hype and mumbo jumbo, what's your thoughts on John Mateer out having surgery? It's been confirmed.
Yeah.
Timeline for his return is unclear, but going to be several weeks.
Yeah, I feel like the first knee-jerk reaction is we're done, right, for the next few weeks. But I mean, you were talking a little bit offline. I felt like if there's a handful of SEC teams out there that I feel like would just implode if they lost their starting quarterback, I'm not necessarily thinking Oklahoma's one of them. But, you know, it'd be asinine for me to just say that they're just going to keep going on as business is normal. You know, I don't think that's going to be the case here, Mike. I feel like you're going to have some adjustments to be made. We're going to have to really, something they struggled in last week, really get that running game going as well, you know. But I don't know. I look at that upcoming schedule, and I still think that it's winnable, but I am not as confident as I once was, especially with, you know, I don't exactly know how long. I mean, what's the projection right now that he's back by? I've heard Red River, but I don't know.
He's out.
Yeah.
He's out for that.
So yeah, what about the South Carolina game? Do you think he's back for it? I mean, when do you speculate that he would be returning?
Well, he hadn't even had the surgery yet, so any...
Which is crazy to me.
Any speculation is just that, you know, fingers crossed. Apparently, he's going to a world-renowned surgeon that does NFL players, so I'm not saying he'll be in more than capable hands, but they got to make sure the surgery's successful, first of all. But if all goes according to plan, I would say South Carolina, Ole Miss, around there.
Well, and again, winnable games, right? But you got two of them. One of them technically, I mean, they're both two of them on the road. And then you've got Ole Miss, which is getting better every single week. And then if it makes it to Tennessee, I mean, you're talking the meat of that schedule. And oh, shit, I guess, damn, you don't realize how tough Oklahoma's schedule is until it's laid out like this. But I think any time you could get them back would be great. But it does kind of worry me a little bit because of some of those marquee games coming up.
Yeah. Well, or you could spin it the other way, Shane, and say, we're going to talk about this game in just a minute, but you could say Ole Miss about to get exposed.
Yeah.
South Carolina, the wheels are already kind of, imagine if they lose to Kentucky, which again, we'll talk about that coming up. What if Arch Manning continues to, look like Arch Manning, but he's not playing Sam Houston? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's quite as daunting. Who knows? But, I mean, it is on paper, but things could change in 3 or 4 weeks. You know what?
Well, I mean, if we're just going to play spin zone here, you know, I mean, maybe this is what you want. Rest him during that Texas game.
You
know?
You get 10 sacks a game, you can beat anybody, you know what?
Absolutely. So, I mean, obviously this is a big blow because this is a pivotal year for Venables and, hell, Oklahoma coaches now that we're talking about it. So, I felt like they were taking some major strides, and this is a big one, man. This is one no one was really expecting. Nobody was expecting.
All right, let me throw this at you.
Yeah.
Could you see a scenario? They're still... BS in here on SEC Network. Could you see a scenario where Oklahoma loses to Texas without John Mateer?
Mm-hmm.
Texas goes on a run. They reach the SEC championship and they face a healthy John Mateer. Oh, baby. Now we're talking. I mean, I don't know. You know, that would be pretty epic, wouldn't it?
That would be pretty. That's the long game, right? You know, it's just
you get it for the one you really want to win. You know what?
It makes you wonder because the way it was worded was that it was not only for the short term but the long term. So you know, back in the day, you kind of wonder if some of these kids would have just played through this injury because they wouldn't. They would have just been playing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But now these days, I mean, John Mateer and with all this. The NFL draft hype, the Heisman hype, you know, I feel like you just got to be safe in the long run. So maybe, I don't know. I hate to hear it because the way Oklahoma was playing here, but yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, to act like it's not a blow is crazy.
Hey buddy, we got, something's happened up with my YouTube. It's always screwing up.
Yeah.
But we had, I want to shout out JR. Mm-hmm. He gifted a membership. Any chance you could look that up for me, buddy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, JR has done it again.
Thank you, JR.
I've already used up my big word for the day, you know, so it's like it's all downhill from here. who do you think leaked to Chris Lowe? I mean, who got fired? Sankey's after somebody. He's in Nashville now, right? So I don't think it'd be Coach Lee. But you know he's pissed. Absolutely pissed.
John Mateer, can he redshirt? No, because he's coming back. So I don't think they're going to be redshirting old John Mateer. I really don't.
Man, it doesn't go back far enough. I apologize if anybody else has got it.
How about this one, Shane?
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
Damn. Give me Steven Up.
Nah, I ain't got Steven either. Dude, God. All I'm showing is the green one here. Spence coming to the family. GPT. Spence. Welcome to the family. Sorry about that, guys. Man, really apologize. We're just... Maybe we should take 2 or 3 weeks off, you know? hey, while they're doing this, what do you think about old Gundy getting fired? You think it was time? You think it was time?
Oh, yeah. It's been time.
It's been time. Well, I think about him and Dabo Sweeney, some of these guys, maybe even Coach Stoops, you know, it's been around for a long time with that program. Maybe they just, you know, feels like you're coming to an end, you know, but I think it's a good thing for state fans, but do you think he's done, or do you feel like he emerges in 3 or 4 years playing?
Oh, Gundy?
Yeah.
He's going to be Tennessee's coach when Hypo leaves.
Boy, we went after him, didn't we? who was it that sent that plane over there, got in trouble? We ended up trying to get the Leech, too, trying to get the Pirate in that same scenario.
Hey, here it is, Shane.
Phil Ellis and Chris Camp.
Welcome to the family.
Appreciate you, JR and Steven Up.
All right. You got Ole Miss on your screen?
Yeah, but they're like, yep, Ole Miss will play Mississippi State.
Oh.
Oh, well, I guess LSU?
Yeah, LSU.
Yeah, why are they doing it like this? This is so annoying.
Just release them. I mean, they got 30 minutes to kill, you know? And Oklahoma, Ole Miss. Ole Miss has got Mississippi State, LSU, and Oklahoma. That'd be funny if Sankey mixed it up right at the end. Say, you know what? I'm going to show you, Chris Lowe.
Yeah. All right. So, well, here's the deal. So, unlike the this TV that we're watching here, Shane.
Yeah.
The SEC is just tweeting it out themselves. So let me just, I guess, just read it off here.
Okay.
So Georgia gets Auburn, Florida, South Carolina. So again, it's everything damn Chris Lowe said it would be, at least for Georgia and probably the rest of these. Here's a schedule that we've known for days here. I don't believe we've gotten your reaction to this either, Shane.
Mm-mm. No. Well, I mean, I hate that Tennessee got kind of screwed there with two juggernauts in Alabama, but I feel like there wasn't a lot. There were some misses for me. I really hated, especially after this South Carolina-Mizzou game.
I'm sorry, Shane. Sorry to cut you off here. But what they are doing, I didn't realize they were doing this. They're revealing not the dates, but the full schedule for these teams. So this is newsworthy. So real quick, Ole Miss. This is who they're going to play. Again, LSU, Mississippi State, and Oklahoma. We knew that. Those are the permanents, right?
Yes.
So this is, other than their or permanents, that's probably not the right word, but for 4 years permanent. The rest of the SEC schedule for Ole Miss next season.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia at home, Missouri at home, at Florida, at Vanderbilt, at Texas.
Ooh.
So Lane Kiffin, he's going to be coaching Ole Miss at Florida. What sidelines he going to be on? I don't know, but he's going to be on one of the sidelines next year. So that's pretty interesting. And then how about this 27, Shane? Ole Miss plays Bama at home, Kentucky at home,
yeah,
South Carolina at home, Oklahoma at home, and then they're at LSU, at Mississippi State, at Arkansas, at Tennessee, Lane Kiffin, perhaps, at Texas A&M. So, God. I mean, just listen to these schedules. This is a damn gauntlet city over here.
Hell yeah, man. This is what we're here for, baby. Let me see.
I got Oklahoma now here. So here's who Oklahoma will be playing in 2026, right?
Mm-hmm.
Texas, of course, in Dallas. Ole Miss at home. At Missouri. Kentucky at home. South Carolina at home.
Yeah.
A&M at home. At Florida. At Georgia. And at Mississippi State. That's Oklahoma for next season. And then 27, Texas, of course, in Dallas. At Ole Miss, Missouri at home, Bama at home, Arkansas at home, Tennessee at home, Shane, in 27. At Auburn, buddy, what refs are calling that game. And at LSU and at Vanderbilt for Oklahoma.
Nice. I've got Ole Misses, too, if you want it. Let's see.
Well, we already kind of said it.
Oh. Oh, are you talking about the full schedule, though?
Yes, sir. I've revealed that.
Sorry.
Try to keep up here, Shane.
Well, I mean, if you wait 10 seconds, we'd have a nice graphic to show. So here's Ole Misses that you're referencing, 26. Man, they go all the way out to 29. So what do you think they do at the end of 29? You think they reshuffle some of these games? Or
they will.
Yeah.
All right, now I got A&M here. All A&M, 26 schedule, Shane. Texas at home. At LSU, at Missouri, Arkansas at home, Kentucky at home, Tennessee at home, at Alabama, at South Carolina, and at Oklahoma, buddy. Still no Georgia for Texas A&M. This is pretty wild. But in 27, they get them. So here's the 27 schedule for A&M. At Texas, LSU at home, Missouri at home, Georgia at home, Ole Miss at home, Vanderbilt at home, at Auburn, at Florida, at Mississippi State in 27. Razor Bass says, you were asking about 29?
Yeah.
They're going to be making Pavia move on. And Tim's, or Tony's called you Graphic Shane over here.
Yeah, just trying to help out here, you know? The name sounds like I'm looking at it. It's a lot to digest here when it first comes out, but I'm wondering, like, you're talking about Ole Miss. So I'm looking at Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
This is a team that we've talked about several times that kind of their schedule has been a little bit of a cupcake. But now they've got LSU, Oklahoma, Auburn turns out to be good, Georgia, Mizzou. This is what I thought would happen. Some of these teams that have had, I don't want to call them cupcakes. I shouldn't say cupcakes, but easier pass, if you will, that they were just going to pile up on them in the following year. Same thing with Georgia. I feel like, do they get a little bit an easier go? They got Auburn, Florida, South Carolina, Mizzou, Vandy, Arkansas.
I can't
Ole Miss?
Read that.
I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm just saying. Sorry.
They just put up Kentucky. So here's Kentucky next season. Florida at home.
Mm-hmm.
At South Carolina, at Tennessee, Bama at home, LSU at home, Vanderbilt at home, at Missouri, at A&M, at Oklahoma. Good luck, John Summerall, with that schedule. 2027, here's Kentucky's schedule, at Florida, South Carolina at home, Tennessee at home, Auburn at home, Georgia at home, Mississippi State at home, at Arkansas, at Ole Miss, and at Mighty Texas. So there's your schedule for Kentucky the next 2 years.
Nice. Ooh. Did you do A&M yet?
Yep. We got
damn.
That one.
Sorry.
Ooh, I think they're about to do Tennessee here for you.
Okay, come on. Alabama, Kentucky, at Vanderbilt, Auburn, LSU, Texas, and then three road games, Arkansas, South Carolina, and Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. Wow.
What a schedule.
I mean, they loaded them up. They're making them. I mean, actually,
Listen to this schedule, folks, for Tennessee in 27. At Alabama, at Georgia, at Missouri, at Oklahoma, at Kentucky, and then Vanderbilt, Florida, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State at home. Good night. Well, Josh Heupel may leave before 27 because he don't want to face that gauntlet.
Just put the football down, Mike. I don't care where it's at. I don't care.
You know who said that famously?
Who's that?
Napier. Just spot the ball before this ball. Year.
Where will he be in 2027, you think?
Maybe like Troy, offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
That would be my guess.
Here's the thing, you know, and I like the future schedules and all. But the nice thing about it is, and in 2 years, you're going to play all the teams. You know, that's the best part. We bitch about Texas A&M and Georgia not playing. Well, every 2 years, they're going to play moving forward. That's just how it happens. So that's the best part. SEC fans win.
Shout out, Garrett. What is that? A graphic for ants.
Sorry. Sounded good in theory. I thought, hey, we'll put it
hey,
up
how there. About this? I just missed it. Dang it. I don't know who asked it, but I thought it was a great question, Shane. Do any, the comment, and again, I apologize for not seeing who wrote it. Is there any winning coach, coach in the SEC with a winning, you know, that we look at and be like, oh, that guy's a damn winner. He said there's no winning coach in the SEC that wants the Florida job. What would be your thoughts on that?
So current winning coaches in the SEC that would want the job?
Yeah, just some of that you think of like, well, damn, that guy's a damn winner. I'm not talking Sam Pittman, Billy Napier. I'm talking winning coaches. Well, Billy Napier, obviously, he's already there. But, you know, just go through it. Mark Stoops.
Coach
winning
Lee.
Coaches.
Lee would take it.
I don't think he would. He's Vanderbilt through and through.
Yeah, but that money, it's with Florida. And the opportunity, because could you imagine? I mean, it's so tough to build Nashville. I feel bad for any coach that took that Vanderbilt job. And I think he's doing extremely well. And I think Pavia is a big part of that as well. But it's still a project, man, that is going to take years to get it close because it's so many years behind, it feels like.
I don't even really consider him a winning coach, to be honest with you.
Well, that's fair. Yeah, I would say winning coach. Would you say, I don't know. That's a good damn question.
He's 6-27 in the SEC. Maybe Florida would take him. All right, hey, LSU schedule, 26. A&M at home, at Arkansas, at Ole Miss. Bama at home, Mississippi State at home, Texas at home, at Auburn, at Kentucky, at Tennessee. Good luck, Brian Kelly. You're going to need it. 27 at A&M, Arkansas at home, Ole Miss at home, Mizzou at home, Vandy at home, Oklahoma at home, then at Florida, at Georgia, at South Carolina.
Maybe Brian Kelly take the job.
Hey, I'll tell you who won't take it,
Hell
Shane.
Oh yeah. Come on,
Cousin Rick. What a legend.
Texas A&M's biggest fan, Cousin Rick. Gig'em Aggies.
Thank you, Rick. Love the show. Cousins, I have immense respect for entrepreneurs starting a business. I've done it. Mike and Shane are doing it and making it look easy for us. I don't know about that. Smash the like button. We are watching something special. Beat the hell out of Auburn. Thank you, Cousin Rick.
Hell yeah. Thank you, cuz. Appreciate it.
Ooh, buddy.
Oh, man. I love it. I just love it.
Do you think they had to one-up Chris Lowe here and be like, we got to give him the schedule for the next couple of years?
Do something, yeah. Sankey said, I'll show him. I was going to release this next Tuesday, but somebody's going to let it out of the bag. I kind of hate that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I wanted to know, but it would have been pretty cool to watch a show slowly releasing the schedule, you know? They did kind of ruin it. There's always that kid, though, you know, that – Just flying Hawaiian, just ripping open the Christmas present to see what he's got.
Do you think when ESPN lost Chris Lowe, they knew he'd ruin the schedule? Like maybe he did it out of spite or something.
Yeah, they probably took it with him. Yeah. Damn. You're always thinking, Mike. As soon as he got this information, he's like, all right, on three, I'm on my way.
Hey, shout out Bama. Here's their schedule, Shane, in 26. Auburn at home.
Mm-hmm.
At Mississippi State, at Tennessee, Georgia at home. We're getting 2 years in a row.
Three years
in a row. Technically, yeah. 3 years in a row. Georgia, Bama, Georgia in Tuscaloosa next year. South Carolina at home. Texas A&M at home. At Kentucky, at LSU, at Vanderbilt. This building rivalry between Bama and Vanderbilt. Let's play that one 3 years in a row. 27, Alabama's going to Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Mississippi State at home. Tennessee at home. Florida at home, Mizzou at home, Texas, mighty Texas at home, at Arkansas, at Ole Miss, at Oklahoma. Buddy, just looking at these damn, we don't even have the dates. I'm fired up for 2027.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking too, like the repeat. I was waiting for it, but it's like, oh yeah, you're not going to see that game for a while. So we're so used to seeing them 2 years in a row run the same schedule. It is a little unusual, so I like it. Man, Auburn. Jeez, Auburn. And, of course, they're going to get Alabama, Georgia. Who was their third, did they say?
For Auburn?
Yeah.
Vanderbilt.
Just top 25 Vanderbilt. Now that Vanderbilt's, kicking ass.
Yep. Oh,
damn.
Does Hugh Freeze stick around or coach against any of these?
Hey, side note, look at that record. Alabama 37-51-1. Georgia 56-65-8. Damn, you don't think about that.
Well, you're looking at it backwards, though. Oh, that's Auburn's record against those.
Oh, I was going to say, so damn. I was like, Alabama have some shitty years I didn't realize?
So here's Auburn for the next 2 years. Vanderbilt at home, at Bama, at Georgia, Arkansas at home, Florida at home, LSU at home, at Ole Miss, at Mississippi State, at Tennessee. Oh, Lordy Lord. Good luck, you. 27, you get at Vanderbilt, Bama at home, Georgia at home, South Carolina at home, Texas A&M at home, Oklahoma at home, at Kentucky, at Missouri, at Texas. Buddy, if I'm an Auburn fan, 27, you better get your ass some season tickets. You know what?
There is no easy schedule, is there? I keep waiting to see it. Like, okay, this is going to be the easy one. I'm like, oh, no. They've got these three teams, you know. Sorry. Stephen Up says, yeah, we've had some bad years.
Rick says, does the schedule include non-conference? No, these are just the conference that they're releasing. So still three non-conference. Hey, you know, here's something I've not heard asked.
What's that?
I'm sure it's being asked in Oklahoma, but with Gundy getting fired.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if we'll get Oklahoma State back. Because I heard he was a major, major roadblock. He didn't want to play Oklahoma when they left. Yeah. Now that his ass is gone, bring Bedlam back,
Want it, right? I mean, if I'm an Oklahoma fan, I definitely want that game, you know? And maybe Oklahoma State could use a little bit of the, national attention. So I think absolutely they got to bring that game. Just like you got Florida and Florida State, South Carolina, Clemson. It's just it'd be one thing if we didn't have a Louisville and Kentucky. They're not doing away with those games. So let's embrace it. Let's make it happen.
Patrick says, no way. But Chad says, yep, bring it back. So,
yeah.
I mean, come on. It's rivalries. Come on. This is what makes the sport great. You know what?
Are you not a man? Are you not 40? I think it'd be good. I think all these are going to be great. Man, there's Oklahoma. I hate for Mateer. I still can't get over that. You always wonder, like last year, we thought about this. At least I did. Uh-huh. About all the quarterbacks that did not make a full season. And we're starting to see a little bit of that now. And I wonder, I don't know if you have any Coach Beamer comments, but he was on earlier and he was talking about Lenoris not running, not playing like he did during that Clemson game. And And there's got to be a part of you saying, well, don't forget, Lenore's got hurt too, you know? So yeah. I'm not saying that he's afraid to run, but I do think that there has to be that kind of that mechanism in your brain saying, hey, I'm not going to do that again.
Right. I mean, it's so short-sighted to be like, why the hell aren't you running your quarterback more against, the first month of the season in South Carolina State?
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, if he's being honest, he's probably say, buddy, we got LSU, Oklahoma, Bama, and Ole Miss,
mm-hmm.
four straight, you know, without a bye in there.
Yeah.
He's not going to survive if we're running him 20 times a game, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't care how big of a beast he is, you know?
And there's a few, man. I worry about Pavi at Vanderbilt. You talk about a program that I feel like would implode. You lose Pavi, and as physical as he is and how much he likes to run, same thing with Taylen Green in Arkansas. Just there's some of these quarterback Tennessee. That's one thing. I guess old Swagular doesn't run near as much. Actually, he ran one time. I was like, whoa, we better not experiment too much with this, you know? At least outside the pocket, you know?
Well, it's going to commercial, so I don't want to just BS here. Oh, yeah. I thought this was interesting. Speaking of Mateer, shout out our buddy Billy Lucci.
Yeah.
So if Texas doesn't face Mateer, and now Lagway's in a boot.
Yeah.
This is their next two, Florida and Oklahoma. That's the next two games for Texas. That will make seven backup quarterbacks the Longhorns have faced in the 10 SEC games. Wow. Just an insane amount of course, he's got to throw this in. Just insane amount of good fortune for a defense that don't need any help. But as if their schedule could get any easier, you know what?
God, they just keep winning. They just keep winning, don't they? Well, I wonder what the record is last 10 SEC games. Is it 10-0?
No, they lost to Georgia a couple times.
Yeah. There's that stat line too, you know? No, they did get lucky, but man, as a Tennessee fan, you got to be careful wishing for a Florida backup because that usually does not end well, especially if it's in Knoxville, you know?
Right. So many great games on the slate this weekend, Shane.
Yeah.
Who's number one for you? Is it Bama, Georgia? It's got to be, right?
Bama, Georgia. And I was looking at one of them places, SeatGeek, StubHub, you know, the cheapest tickets I could find to that football game is over $400 in the nosebleed section. I mean, it's unreal compared to the other SEC matchup. So, yeah, it still blows my mind that game day is not coming to this one.
Mm-hmm. And then I've made these little graphics too. Ooh. This is just my personal opinion. This is not stat based in any metric, but comparing head coach, offensive versus defensive coordinators, offensive versus defensive line, passing game, pass defense, on and on and on. So that's kind of where I'm at. The numbers say Alabama should be kind of favored.
Yeah.
My eye tells me Georgia should be favored.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how you know you're going to get a damn good game. You know what? We're close to 50-50 here, Shane.
Yeah.
And Georgia's favored by 2.5.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Kirby, 1-6 versus Bama. Do you know what all seven of those games have in common? Do you have any idea?
CBS, 3:30.
You're thinking right, but here's the answer. None of them in Athens.
Really? How's that possible?
Where's the game on Saturday, Shane? It's in Athens. Come on, buddy.
Maybe that's why the seats are so, because you get them every 7 years.
Here's another one for you. Georgia, 1-6 versus Bama since 2017, Kirby got there. 1-6. 99-8 against the rest of college football.
Damn. Jeez Louise, man.
Oh, that's wild, isn't it?
Florida's just came out. South Carolina at Georgia, at Kentucky, Ole Miss, Vandy, Oklahoma, at Auburn, at Missouri, and at Texas.
Ooh, buddy. What kind of coach would want to step into that?
Yeah, I thought they'd give him an easy one. You know what? Let's give them Georgia because they always get them. And you know what? Let's sprinkle in Texas and Oklahoma on them. Oh, Mizzou's undefeated? Yeah, let's put them on there as well. Oh, I love it.
And then here's who Florida gets in 27. At South Carolina, Georgia. It's in Tampa. Remember, they're doing renovations, yeah. So that's kind of weird. Kentucky at home, Arkansas at home, LSU at home, A&M at home, mm-hmm. at Bama, at Mississippi State, at Tennessee.
Oh, look, Georgia only has 19 wins. You know, oh, wait. It's showing South Carolina. It's got Georgia, Kentucky, and Florida here. And, ooh, man, South Carolina has really struggled. The only best one they've got is against Kentucky, 21-14-1. All the others combined, 29 of 80 almost.
Hey, do you agree with this sentiment, Shane? Shout out Carl Judkins. If Gators put in a backup against the Vols, just give them the Heisman.
That's the damn truth. That is a Tennessee fan through and through. You know exactly what's going on. So I hope that boot comes off by Tennessee. That's what they're saying about John Mateer. He'll come back for the Tennessee game, you know?
All right, here's South Carolina schedule for 26. Georgia at home. Kentucky at home. At Florida. Mississippi State at home. Tennessee at home, A&M at home, at Bama, at Arkansas, at Oklahoma. Good night. Good luck to the Gamecocks. You're going to need it. Whew. And then 27 at Georgia, at Kentucky, Florida at home, LSU at home, Mizzou at home, Texas at home, at Auburn, at Ole Miss, at Vanderbilt. Whew. I think this might be they're all difficult, but this might be the most difficult I'm seeing.
Yeah, because I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams right now in the top 25 for that one. Yeah, and who knows what Florida and, you know, maybe they got a good coach in there by that time. They may be a top 25 as well. So, yeah, that is daunting.
And now they're about to do Missouri now. And they got a good record against Arkansas. All right, so here's who Missouri's got in 2026. A&M at home, Oklahoma at home, at Arkansas, Florida at home, Kentucky at home, Texas at home, at Georgia, at Ole Miss, at Mississippi State. Shane, this might be the damn easiest schedule in the SEC Missouri.
And 2027, they got at A&M, at Oklahoma, Arkansas, Auburn, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, at Bama, at LSU, at South Carolina. Man, the road games. At A&M, at Oklahoma, at Bama, at LSU, and at South Carolina.
All right, that's you're not the be, easiest.
You're not going to be teased about an easy schedule no more. It's like, you know what? We're going to give you tough teams on the road. Oh.
Ooh, buddy.
I mean, Drake will take that Florida job. Oh, shit.
Mm-mm-mm.
Oh, I love it, though.
Oh, they're about to do Arkansas now.
Now, we know the three, right? So
it's LSU, Mizzou, and Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I like how they're acting like we don't know it.
Yeah, just you know? Go ahead. This is for you, Lo. They're trying to slow play us here. Oh, yeah. God, Arkansas really got a doozy here. They don't have a winning record against any of these teams.
Here's who Arkansas plays in 26. LSU at home, Mizzou at home, at Texas, Georgia at home, South Carolina at home, Tennessee at home, at Auburn, at A&M, at Vanderbilt.
And then the following year, they go to LSU at Mizzou. Texas comes in. Bama comes in. Kentucky, Ole Miss, at Florida, at Mississippi State, and at Oklahoma.
Tony says that's a great schedule for Gruden next year.
Yeah, I kind of like their 27. 27's looking nice for Arkansas. That may be the year. Pittman came out. I don't know if you listen to any of him. Basically, they said hot seat talk. He's like, brother, and I'm paraphrasing, I've been here for 3 years. Ain't no thing. Oh,
so he knows what he's stepping into this week.
Yeah. Texas.
Does he save the job by beating Notre Dame?
I don't think he saves his job. I mean, he's got to win a lot of games. But it does. I mean, deep down inside, it sucks because there's so many close games that went the wrong way for him.
Okay, here's Texas, Shane. 26, Arkansas at home, at A&M, Oklahoma and Dallas, Florida at home, Ole Miss at home, Mississippi State at home, at LSU, at Mizzou, at Tennessee.
And 27, they've got at Texas, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Auburn, Georgia, Kentucky, at Bama, at South Carolina, and at Vanderbilt. So they've got...
Real quick, you said at Texas. You meant at Arkansas. All
right, sorry, at Arkansas. Yes. At Arkansas. So they've got four road games other than the Red River, and that would be Bama, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Arkansas. Man, think about that. Texas keeps getting away with it. I thought we'd be back.
How about this? If Arch wins the Heisman next year, he's going to have to do it on the road at A&M, at LSU, at Mizzou, at Tennessee. He'll have to earn it.
Yeah, he'll have to.
Boy, who's Peyton rooting for when Texas comes to Tennessee?
I think he's got to go with them Vols. He's VFL through and through. It's not like it's his kid, you know? Oh, I love it. I love it, man.
Hey, let's jump back to this game real quick.
Yeah.
While they're kind of BSing over here. But which quarterback do you have more confidence in, Alabama, Georgia? Ty Simpson or old Gunnar Stockton?
It's tough for me because, you know, we had the bye week, but prior to that, Ty was playing out of his damn mind. I mean, Coach even said he's the prettiest damn quarterback right now in the SEC. But Gunnar went on the road in Neyland, back against the wall. That fourth and whatever just stole it for me. So right now, I'm going with the gamer. Give me Georgia's quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's the right answer because he's done it in a tough situation. Mm-hmm. And then, hey, I wanted to share this update. Sounds like it was pretty serious, but I think it's going to be okay. I don't know for sure, Shane. But there was an incident at Alabama's practice today. Their linebacker, Jamarian Latham, suffered a neck injury, and he had to be transported to the hospital. But they said he's got full feeling and motion. He's currently undergoing a thorough medical assessment to determine next steps. You know, top priority is his health and well-being. Future updates to follow. So it sounds like it was pretty serious, but also sounds like he's getting great treatment. So I would not imagine he's going to be playing this weekend. But I just wanted to get that note out there.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah, you hate hearing injuries. Especially in camp, but we're getting to that point. You know, this is when those bumps and bruises become strains and sprains. You know, we start seeing some of these kids, you know, taking some time off. But this is that depth. You know, which team? Sometimes it's not who's the most talented team in September. It's who's the deepest team by December. You know, so we'll see.
And I asked you about the quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Who do you think's got the best receivers? Georgia, spent in the portal. They got Zachariah Branch. They got Colby Young. They got London Humphreys, who made the big catch against Tennessee. They got we still haven't seen much of Noah Thomas.
Yeah,
he was really starting to break out last season. I thought he was going to be their breakout star. They got solid tight ends. Meanwhile, Bama, Jeremy Bernard's one of the most productive receivers in the conference this year. Ryan Williams, of course.
Yeah,
they got Isaiah Horton, who scored in the last game. I believe he's starting to come on. Who's got the better receivers, you think, in this matchup?
Right now, I think it's I'm going to give Bama. I felt like Bama kind of woke up last week and you know, started to show how talented they are. I mean, they were highly touted coming into the season, but we've just not seen any production. And I felt like during that Wisconsin game, especially, we really got to see that. I would also say kind of similar roles in this A&M Auburn matchup. You know, here you got A&M wide receivers playing out of their damn mind, but you saw flashes of Cam, you know, is that could also be a dynamic wide receiver back and forth game, you know?
Right. So, I guess we're jumping into that one. So, yeah, this will be a big time matchup. See if Auburn, how will Auburn respond, Shane, after the tough, tough defeat? And, man, Auburn won last year. Before the Baylor win, I think this was the best win of the Hugh Freeze era. Big time win. I gave A&M, this is just my opinion here. When it comes to better coaches, better line of scrimmage, I've given a lot of edges to A&M here, but not by much. Basically, I had to pick one. I think this is one of the more even matchups in the conference this weekend. Auburn, they can really run the ball. They can really stop the run. A&M, they have not been very good running the ball, and they certainly can't stop the run. Yeah. At least they haven't proven it yet. But Auburn can't stop the pass, and A&M's passing all over everybody. Yeah. So it's kind of weakness on weakness, strength, I guess, if you want to put it that way. But, A&M's had 2 weeks to prepare. Auburn just went through a tough physical game that they probably thinks they should have won. Mm-hmm. Jackson Arnold, I can't imagine how many hours he spent in a damn ice bath this week after that game. Who do you like going into this matchup?
It's going to be it's unusual matchup just because the hangover effect a little bit, you know? You got that big win and I feel like you're excited, but then you kind of lose some of that steam with a bye week. I've seen it before. And then on the other side of the coin, you've got a very emotional loss that people are still, I mean, they're going to be torn about that game for years, you know? there will always be an asterisk by that matchup. And I feel like, does that come in? Because, you know, when you listen to both these coaches, when I hear the Elko conversations, it's all about the Auburn matchup. But when you listen to Hugh Freeze, it's 50-50 right now. And I know it's still early in the week or whatever, but we try to snap and clear and get to the next game. And that's going to be a tough one to just leave at the door, if you will. So, I don't know, man. I think in times like this, you got to go with who's being most consistent. And the most consistent player right now, in my opinion, is probably Texas A&M and Marcel Reed and the way they've been playing offensively and the fact it's at home. But I'm not saying they're going to win this game right now, but I think that's the kind of – that's where I'm leaning as of Tuesday here.
Right, and it just seems like it's a real, real problem, Shane, that Auburn can't stop the pass.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, by the way, A&M's got – Mario Craver, who leads the conference. I believe he leads the nation in receiving yards.
Yeah.
And then Casey Concepcion, I think he's even better than Craver. I just think Craver had such a huge performance against Notre Dame. You know, again, I mean, I'm splitting hairs here, but maybe the best 1-2 combo in the conference at receiver going up against arguably the worst pass defense, not a great sign for Auburn. How about this stat, Shane?
Wait, real quick before you go. Elko was asked about that. These boys ready to pin their ears back. And he said, whoa, whoa. He goes, Auburn's got the best offensive line in the country. You know, don't get that news out there.
Stats like this don't have literally any meaning for a game like this.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy them. Auburn has not beaten a ranked team on the road since 2021.
Oh,
so we're talking 4 years here. Yeah. Can they get it? You know, is that that's a big hurdle to overcome?
Not 4 years of Hugh Freeze, you know. Hugh Freeze should have had one last week, right?
And then even, you know, as awesome as we know Oklahoma's defense is.
Yeah.
Auburn rushed for 111 yards on them. If you adjust for the yardage lost on sacks, which really shouldn't count against rushing yards anyway. But again, if they were able to do that on that mighty defense, what will they be able to do against A&M, who, again, they have struggled mightily. Mm-hmm. Rush defense efficiency, 96 in the country, A&M is. So I think if Auburn can run all day, take the pressure off Arnold, set up some play action to Cam Coleman, I think Auburn can have a ton of success in this game.
That's ideal, right? And you know, that's one of the things you Freeze talked about is we can't have as many dropbacks as we did last week and expect to win SEC matchups. You just can't. They got to be more balanced. And I feel like that's got to be the focus is, you know, helping your quarterback. You know, it sounds crazy, but running the football alleviates a lot of that pressure for Jackson back there in the pocket when you have that option. And it felt like that option was erased, and that's why you had 10 sacks, part of the reason.
Right. And I asked Marla this. I want to ask you it.
Mm-hmm.
All the goodwill that A&M got going to Notre Dame, beating the Fighting Irish.
Yeah.
You know, the comments galore, Shane, 8-4, 8-4, 8-4. They're going to lose. They can't win these games of this caliber. Now, you got to win a lot of them to truly shed that label. But do they lose goodwill, you know, progress, the Mike Elko program in year two? Do they lose any progress if they turn around after such a big win for the program to come home and lose to Auburn? Does that, I'm not saying it like destroys the program, but does it halt the progress that was made last week or yes, 2 weeks ago?
Just like we're, I mean, hell, you could also say, what if Arkansas beats Notre Dame? They're going to pull away from that game. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be classic Clemson and LSU now. It's like, wait, maybe LSU wasn't that good now that Dabo's, you know, crying at the podium.
Right, so that's worst case, right? You lose to Auburn, and Notre Dame loses to Arkansas. Yeah. You're like, well, shit, it's old 8-4 again. You know what?
Yeah, I know. So it's a pivotal game for Elko to prove that this is a new season, new team, and it ain't the same 0-8-4 squad, you know? So, yeah, you've got to come out here because Notre Dame, getting a win against Notre Dame was awesome, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you can't win in the SEC. And I feel like starting off, you've got a beat up Auburn team right now. Take advantage of that bye week, you know, because I thought it was interesting. Nothing ever really interesting comes out of Kirby press conferences, but it was asked about the bye week, and he says there's no real advantage, especially if the other team has it. And now you've got this matchup, a team that goes on the road, got beat up. There are going to be a lot of sore folks coming in that game, and you've got 2 weeks to prepare. So, yeah, I feel like the pressure is solely on Elko, especially that it's a home game, you know?
Right. And final thought I have on it.
Yeah.
Regardless of who wins, I don't think it'll be an upset. Does that make sense? Like, neither one winning this one would surprise me.
No, even Auburn losing earned a lot of respect last week. Texas A&M has a ton of respect coming off that win with Notre Dame. So, no, these are clearly top 25 opponents, and I feel like whoever loses should remain there because that's how good they are.
Okay, how about this one? Another Titanic showdown here, Shane. LSU at Ole Miss, Shane. Undefeated. Only battle of undefeateds here in the conference this weekend. Ole Miss, a slight 1.5-point favorite. The home team has won the last four matchups. How about that, buddy? We just keep going round and round and round. Thoughts on LSU at Ole Miss?
Going to be a good one, right? This one here is probably one of my favorite games just because of Lane Kiffin, you know, just because of how much he hates them LSU Tigers and loves to troll. I mean, hell, he even sent his daughter down there to date the linebacker, you know. So,
get some info.
Yeah, he said, take the over, he said. So, there's a lot of cool storylines that are coming into this game. But more importantly, there's a lot that's going to be coming out. We're trying to figure out, is Ole Miss legit? In my opinion, I'm trying to figure it out. Is Ole Miss a contender, a playoff, a national championship contender? I'm trying to figure that out still. And then LSU, I'm trying to figure out if they're a pretender, you know? Have they duped us? Have they, they've not, the only great game they had is losing credibility week and week and week. So I feel like this is a perfect matchup for a temperature gauge to truly see who these guys are.
How much confidence do you have that the winner of this game, LSU at Ole Miss, the winner makes the college football playoff?
10. Absolutely. This is a play-in game, Mike. Whoever wins this one has, I don't want to say guaranteed because nothing's guaranteed in the Southeastern Conference, but yeah. I feel like the path for that is wide open because they're always going to look back to this game, even if this ends in a 9-3 or one of these 10-2 teams, and we've got to, you know, try to explain why a 10-2 team should get in. They're going to look at this one, and this is the credit they're going to use to get into that matchup. So, yeah, this is a massive, massive game.
I think that's a little rich. I'd say 75%.
Yeah. Well, if you round up, it's almost 10.
And how about old Garrett Nussmeier, Shane? I know a lot of people didn't watch it because they were Southeast Louisiana, uh-huh. but they announced he was banged up, and the conventional wisdom was like, why are we playing this guy against this loser team? Well, according to Brian Kelly, he needs the reps, and he was actually feeling the best he's felt, and he showcased it. Now again, the defense was probably a joke, but maybe this is the realness, and yeah. Could Saturday night be his coming out party against an Ole Miss defense, which I think is a quality defense, but I don't think it's anywhere near the caliber it was last year. Could this be the coming out party for Garrett Nussmeier? And by that, I just mean maybe he reasserts himself as a Heisman contender that he may not be currently.
Say that again. Sorry, I was putting somebody in timeout, Mike. Could you say it one more time?
Yeah, just, I mean, what are the chances? You know, right now, I think if you're not an LSU fan,
yeah,
your thought process is, man, Garrett Nussmeier,
yeah.
Number one pick, Heisman, give me a break. He didn't look that good against right. Clemson. He didn't look that good against Louisiana Tech. Could this be the game where, you know, they go on the road, I'm not saying he has to throw for 500 yards, but maybe yeah. like three touchdowns or something like that, and then he kind of emerges as, man, this guy's legit, and all the hype is validated. Could that be this performance
yeah.
for him, you think?
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say that because going into the season, there was three quarterbacks, sometimes four, that you had in your conversation of best quarterbacks in this conference, and Nuss has found his way outside that list. And I feel like he gets right back in the middle of it if he has a big win, especially if it's his fault, you know? But,
right.
but again, if it's – he loses, then all of a sudden we turn around and say, see, I told you so. This kid shouldn't even been considered in that list to begin with. So, yeah, I feel like there's a lot of individual efforts that are going to be gauged in this game, and mainly in that quarterback room, because you can easily look at the other side and say, well, is this the guy?
Ooh. Yeah, and who are we playing at quarterback here, Shane? Because –
yeah.
I really think if Austin Simmons is healthy, that it's going to be him, regardless of how well Trinidad is playing. People think I'm crazy when I say that, but I just think the ceiling is much, much, much higher with Austin Simmons if he's healthy and to reach our ultimate goals, which is to make the playoff and not just make it, but win some games.
Yeah.
I think we need Austin Simmons to max his potential. And that I'm not throwing shade at Trinidad. I think he's looked phenomenal. But I think a little bit of his success is due to the defenses he's facing as well. What's your thoughts on that?
I get that, Mike. But man, it's so hard to if it's working to go another route, you know. And I feel like that's kind of where I'm coming from. If you're having a lot of success, not just a little, and again, inferior opponent, not really. I mean, we talked about Tulane potentially pulling off an upset. I know some people did. But if you're able to get a win here, and I don't know, man. I feel like you got to play the hot hand. I'm going with Trinidad 80% confidence right now.
Even if Austin Simmons was 100%?
Even if he's 100%. I don't need Austin Simmons is the future of this program, and I don't need him to be rushed in there. You know, now if he feels like he's 100% and he's ready to go, don't think I won't work him in quicker, you know, especially in the second half or something along those lines, or maybe even have a series or two just to keep him honest so that future teams would have to game plan for two different quarterbacks. But, nah, I really think you just need to roll with Trinidad here.
I think you're 100% wrong.
Yeah.
I think you said 100%. I just read the other. Shane, Cousin Rick's back again, Shane. Let's play his jingle for him. because he's such an outstanding cousin.
It's Thank Texas you, cuz. Texas A&M's biggest fan, Cousin Rick. Gig'em, Aggies.
Thank you, Rick. I have family members that I love from LSU. I'll be there for the game, Texas, where I went to undergrad, and Mizzou, my son-in-law. I love them all, but when they play my Aggies in my house, Kyle Field, stay healthy, take the L, and go home. Thank you, Cousin Rick.
Thank you, cuz. Appreciate it, man.
What a wild man. You know what?
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to be a good one. Yeah. Wait, where's that one at? That's man. I wish we could go down.
Texas A&M?
Yeah.
It's in Austin.
I know. I don't know how much pull Billy Lucci's got in that one. That'd be a fun game. Absolutely. I just feel like I think we're overlooking some of these earlier October matchups.
Yeah.
Because right now it just on paper you don't think it's a big deal, but this season is going to come down to two or three games, and we're going to look back even potentially this weekend. Somebody's going to slip up, and they're not going to get in because of a mistake they made this week. So it just feels like that time of year, you know?
Well, speaking of being overlooked, Shane, you better not overlook this one. Tennessee at Mississippi State, undefeated Mississippi State, by the way. Shane, Tennessee, a touchdown favorite here in Starkville. Mm-hmm. Man, oh man, this should be a fun high scoring game. I don't think people recognize how bad Tennessee's defense has played up to this point and how well Mississippi State's offense has played. So I think they're going to have some real success against Tennessee. What's your thoughts on your Vols going down to Starkville?
I just like how we have to pretend this is going to be a good game, you know? I mean, it's awesome. The fact that we're all excited about Mississippi State again, but we all know how this thing's going to end.
Ooh, you sound like Arkansas week to me.
I'll tell you what. This reminds me a lot of the 2024 Arkansas matchup when you're like, you just try not to address the elephant in the room, you know, that, and the elephant being that battered Vol syndrome that you have. And that's exactly what Mississippi State, I felt this last year when Mississippi State came to Knoxville, and I'm feeling it even worse now just because they have an offense that could actually put some damn points up. And yes, I am worried about this football game because, up to this point, the success that I've seen from Mississippi State is usually what Tennessee has been struggling with, if that makes sense. So that's my biggest concern, is that if they want to play, this thing could come down to a fourth quarter series or two, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. And this is the first true road game for Joey Aguilar in this Tennessee offense. And now he looked like $1 million against Syracuse, but that was in Atlanta, not quite the cow. Sure as hell is not like the Cowbells. So they can get rowdy as hell down there. We saw that against Arizona State. They really helped them win that football game. So I do anticipate we're going to see a lot of Tennessee fans making this trip, because I've spoken to so many that are making it. And, you know, going back to the schedule release, Shane, it almost feels like these two are not in the same conference.
Right.
Because they barely play. Again, I'll throw this up. I got the Winsopedia here, Shane. They played in last season, obviously, but prior to that, it was 2019. And I think before that was like 2010 or something like that. I mean, they just very, very rarely played. So thankfully, we're getting great games like this more often. We're getting them every other year in the new look SEC.
I think I was that 1998 SEC championship, that game? I don't know. That was a good year for them, too. But, you know, I want to give a shout-out, cuz, to Zoe here. Zoe gifted a membership, but the membership went to Sooner in the South. Sooner, welcome to the family. Courtesy of our cousin Zoe. And I love the comments. The comments is what got me. And Zoe was not happy with you giving his membership to broke U fans.
Look what he said here. They can't afford them, so I got to give them.
Oh, I love it, man. I love it. Keep it up. Thank you, cuz. Really appreciate you.
Let me ask you this, though. If Tennessee plays clean football, does not turn the ball over. Any shot they lose this one?
No. No, I this team feels different, right? You know, I always expect Tennessee to mess up somewhere, but this is a I really do. It's just that is classic battered ball syndrome. But this team feels different. Like, I wasn't worried at all about UAB. You know, 7 years ago, 6 years ago, I was an ETSU. That shouldn't be a close game, but it probably will be. That's what you were saying going into this thing. What if we drop Syracuse? It's like dropping one to Western Virginia. You remember when West Virginia whooped their ass in Charlotte? It's it's like this is games that we are so callous to. Now this one, it's like, no, we're not going to mess this thing up. And I'm not saying Mississippi, I'm not comparing Mississippi State to ETSU, Mike, but I do think that they're apples and oranges right now. Mississippi State has a couple more seasons before they're actually competing with some of these programs, but they worry me because they are making strides, and if they hit it just right, and the fans, let's not act like these fans aren't involved. I mean, this is the, I think, the third highest paid seats to get right now is down here in Starkville. If they bring 110% of what they did against Arizona State, then shit, Mike. I mean, anything can happen.
Yeah. But what about Tennessee's defense? How many points do they need to limit Mississippi State to where you feel they're making strides? Because, again, they've given up 26 to Syracuse, 44 to Georgia. Of course, that was overtime. And then 24 to UAB. I mean, I'm sensing a trend here, Shane, where if Tennessee doesn't score 30 points, I don't know how many games they're winning. Now, good news is they're clicking on all cylinders. So, but again, all it takes is a tip here, a drop there, and you ain't scoring 30 points on the road in the Southeastern Conference. You know what?
Feels like a couple of mistakes. If Tennessee, I think that will be the main storyline, turnovers. If Tennessee has more turnovers than Mississippi State, there's a very good chance they could lose that game, you know? Mm-hmm. So I say if Tennessee loses the turnover battle by 1.5, then they'll lose that matchup.
You're so confident. You're like, they can lose it by one. We'll be fine.
Yeah, one will be fine. One interception. I mean, that's going to happen with Swagular. But two, well, you know, maybe, and especially if Mississippi State's not having any, then I feel like that would be the recipe for a disaster for them Volunteers.
Yeah, I will say this. Anybody that missed it, go check out our Monday show with Marler. He said, what's the spread? I told him it was Tennessee 7.5. He just started laughing, saying, bet the mortgage on Tennessee to cover.
I don't know, man. That's a classic not Tennessee fan right there.
Hey, shout out Spencer, Shane.
Hell
hey,
yeah.
Gifted a membership to Alejandro. Alejandro, welcome
to the family. That's my middle name.
All right, how about this? We got another conference matchup, Shane, in the SEC. One of the most underrated rivalries in this great conference, Kentucky at South Carolina, Shane. Both these teams desperately, desperately need a win. The loser might as well just go take your ball and go home, because I don't know what they're accomplishing this year. Carolina's won three in a row. Last year was ugly, but Mark Stoops and Kentucky can return the favor, Shane, and make a tough spot, make it so bad for Shane Beamer and company. What's your early thoughts on Kentucky at South Carolina?
Oh, man, this is a must win. You know, it is.
For both, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like, I mean, it's been a while since we've seen Coach Stoops, but you're quickly reminded who he is if he loses a game, you know. So, South Carolina, I mean, tough game. Tough outing there. You know, there was some flashes, there were some moments in that Mizzou game, and that's what Beamer talks about, is the opportunities were there and they just lost them. But that we keep saying it over and over. And same thing with the coaching. You know, media wants to know. Fans want to know, why are we not running the football? Why are our running backs not able to run? Why is our quarterback not running? You know, we can – and it's – you know, do that for 1 week. That's fine. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. You know, at some point you got to say, okay, maybe we need to do something differently. And I feel like that's the kind of responses I was seeing there in Columbia. So I really do think that Shane Beamer probably this weekend has more pressure than any coach in the Southeastern Conference to win this game.
Ooh, you're putting it on him, huh?
Absolutely. You lose to Kentucky, you lose everything. You lose it all. You might as well take out Virginia Tech if they're still offering, you know?
Hey, what would this do for Kentucky to go on the road? You know, they're left for dead already. Hell, they've just got a 7-point loss in a game they probably should have won. And you sit here and you're 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia's coming off a brutal game against Bama. Who knows? Maybe Kentucky would get some momentum. And I don't know how much you got to see of this Cutter Bowley play against Eastern Michigan, Shane. But again, the numbers are not like not going to blow your socks off here. But I think that's more about the lack of weapons he has. Because every time I saw this kid play, and go back last year even, he played against Texas, I thought he looked solid. I'm very high on his potential for Cutter Bowley. And here's an opportunity to try to out-duel Lenora Sellers. I'm not saying he will, but if he does, I think all of a sudden we got to look at Kentucky and be like, hey, maybe they're cooking with something down here.
I like this. Jefferson Pilot Sport. We should name a game every week. The JP Sports Game of the Week, because this is it.
Dude, I miss Jefferson Pilot. You know
what? I know. This would be it. I messaged YouTube TV last year asking them where my JP HD channel is, and they said, we don't have that. You know? Well, shame on you. No, Coach Stoops got a lot of pressures as well. I'm not just sugarcoating it, but to be honest with you, Mike, let's say you do get this one. The fans are not having a parade because of this one, because they see a 2-loss South Carolina team.
Right.
You know, you beat Georgia, you beat a Texas, a Tennessee, maybe, you know, but a South Carolina game on the road, I still don't think that that's going to save you anything.
Well, I think it could, because you're beating Tennessee Tech.
Yeah.
There's you four. The way Florida's going, you could beat them, because, hell, look at Florida before mm-hmm. they play at Kentucky. Now we're talking, you just got to beat one of, I know these are difficult, but Georgia, Texas, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and Louisville. You got to win one, and throw Auburn in there too. And Auburn, and look at the damn gauntlet Auburn's got prior to this. You just got to win one of, what, five games to make mm-hmm. a bowl game. And I think making a bowl game with this squad is, I think that's a success.
Yeah. I agree. But how much does it give you for winning this game? We're not talking about potential outcome. I'm just talking about South Carolina going on the road.
I think it's big, Shane. I really do. It's a Sunglass Bowl.
Yeah.
They hate South Carolina.
Yeah.
They hate Beamer.
Yeah.
Roush, I mean, he gets as many Beamer jokes in there as he can, you know?
Yeah.
I think this will give him a lot of goodwill. These are the ones Kentucky fans, because these are the ones where they think they can win.
Mm-hmm.
And if you lose it every year, then it's like, well, what the hell do we have? You know, I don't think many Kentucky fans are saying, we're going to whoop Georgia's ass in Athens or Texas, you know? I think they've resigned themselves. They're going to lose to Tennessee 9 out of 10, like
You beat a South Carolina, then you say, well, if we keep that Georgia game close like we did last year, you know.
Oh, what stat here? This will blow you away, Shane. Kentucky, 14 tackles for loss this year. That ranks mm-hmm. 121st in the country. So they don't get tackles for loss.
Yeah.
South Carolina, tackles for loss allowed 28. That's 123rd in the country. So South Carolina can't prevent them. Kentucky can't get them. Maybe that'll be who wins this game. Who gets the tackles for loss? You know what?
It could be it, Mike.
And then, hey, jumping out of the conference, we got three non-conferences. Yep. Arkansas hosting Notre Dame. This is the first time these two have ever met. Notre Dame is down to a 5-point line, Shane. The footballs favor them Razorbacks. Take that for what it's worth. But, hell, you know, I'm just going to continue to shout it from the mountaintop. Two plays away from being 4-0, and Sam Pittman's in the running for SEC Coach of the Year. Arkansas fans are tired of hearing it. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, you know, five games a year, it seems like. But all we need is Taylen Green to get hot.
Mm-hmm.
as hot as he's been, and don't turn the ball over in the damn red zone. And I think Arkansas can beat Notre Dame.
Yeah. And when they do, Mike, because they're going to, I feel like it's going to happen here. This is classic Arkansas, right? Just right when you're about to fit, you know, you're calling in the U-Haul right now. You're finished packed up the last box. Then all of a sudden they win a big game like they did against Tennessee, like they could do against Notre Dame. Then they got a bye week coming around. I feel like you do that, you bought some time. And not so much that I feel like Arkansas is not going to replace Sam at the end of the year, but at least not replace him in the middle of the year, you know? And I feel like Sam's playing with house money now. He if you watch these press conferences, I feel so bad. I mean, he's just a beat up old man, you know, and he hears it over and over. And I don't think he cares so much about this team that he wants to do well. And I feel like the players do too. And you're right. It came down to a couple of stupid plays, and that's the reason they're not 4-0 right now going into this one. But if they were 4-0, Mike, they would be heavy favorites to beat Notre Dame. So I feel like you kind of put a little bit of that fire out if you come out here and do exactly what you're capable of doing.
Yeah. Key to the game. Don't turn the ball over. Stop Notre Dame's rushing attack.
Tackle.
Especially if it's bringing the backup and your 350-pound lineman's on his back. You know what I mean? So just do not let them beat you on the ground. Mm-hmm. You can win this football game.
Yep.
All right, speaking of winning, Shane, two others, non-conference real quick. UMass. Eli Drinkwitz says, I focus on beating UMass. They're sitting here crowning Missouri. They're a 40-point favorite, 43, excuse me. Yeah. I don't want to give them short of the three there. 43-point favorite. What do you want to see from Mizzou as they whoop UMass's ass?
I was going to listen to Drink today, but the thumbnail was like him with an old box and an old football or so. I was like, you know, not this week, Coach. I ain't got time for it. So what I want to see is health, man. We need to stay healthy here. We had a couple scares week before last, and I don't want to see that. And I know it's not easy. You can't just come out here and say, hey, but you can't play smart. Let's don't get Bo outside the pocket. Let's don't put him in situations where he can get hit. Keep improving what you're improving on. And what I mean by that is offensive line, defense, making turnovers, making mistakes. I feel like that's things that Mizzou can continue to do with this UMass game, and then get those starters off the damn field.
Yeah, tighten up that secondary a little.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see the freshman Matt Zollers play, I don't know, a half of football, see what he's got, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, some more Roberts than usual, you know.
And then last one, Shane, Vanderbilt against Utah State. We've seen Utah State already lose to Texas A&M. Vanderbilt's a 21.5-point favorite. Anything you'll be looking for from the Commodores?
Just another 70-point outing, you know. just quietly having a phenomenal season. So for me, Mike, probably the running game. I was a little discouraged about how little running we've had here the last couple of weeks. I'd like to get back to that and not just my quarterback, but work on that balance, work on doing what Vanderbilt knows how to do, and that's chew up clock and get wins. So let's get out here and do it.
Man, can you imagine 5-0 Vanderbilt? Did you ever think we'd see that in our lives?
No. I mean, it's setting up for a pretty nice Alabama matchup, ain't it?
And each win is another walk for you. So I hate it for you, but I do love that you got all this great football to watch this weekend. It's going to be one heck of a time. Cannot wait. This is going to be the best weekend yet in the SEC. Cannot beat it.
Can you find out how many miles, like what the bet was? Because I really would like to start knocking some of these out. I can't do them all. If Vanderbilt goes on a tear, I may die. So I'd like to start going ahead and working some of these miles out. So if somebody can remember what episode that was, that would be awesome.
I'm pretty sure that was the Vanderbilt season preview show.
Okay. Well, that would make sense.
I think you said best case was like
6 wins.
I think it was less than that. I think like it was 5.
I thought it was 7.
No, I think you said 5 best case.
Oh, shit.
34 miles you got to do. Oh, all right, buddy. Hey, we went a little bit long on this one. Anything else before we hop off the line?
I just look forward to seeing everybody tomorrow, 7:30, bright and early, SEC Hangover. And be sure to hit that thumbs up on your way out. That means a lot.
Yeah, so we got you fully loaded here. Wednesday, we'll have Steven making his predictions around noon. And then we're going to do mailbag tomorrow night. So be locked in for that. We really appreciate all the support. Please like, share, and spread the word. That's the best way to help the show.
Yep.
Well, that's all we got on this episode. We'll catch you on the next one.
See you guys. Go Balls.
Oh, wait, real quick, JP. Yeah. Today's shout-outs. Cousin JR, Steven Up, Marshall Childs, Cousin Rick, Too Tall Paul, Carl Jenkins, Bronson McNeil, COV, and Spencer. Thank you for being legends, and thank you, JP.
JP, sorry.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.